All right, it's the broadcast for God's Grace for You. Should be aired on Tuesday, the date on the label. All right, thanks so much. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, again with you. We're having a grand time in the Lord this week, really looking at some things that I think are extremely relevant for the body of Christ today, and things that are just very, very important. I can't tell you how many questions we get concerning this topic. People with all sorts of opinions and such, and it's nothing like the Word of God to clear up all the uncertainties that simply abound today in professing Christianity. Now, also this week, we've been offering you the booklet called The Gospel, about 27, 28 pages, something like that. Just a marvelous presentation of the gospel, full of pictures, illustrations, simplistic. You can read this through in a short period of time. Non-offensive, a very clear, it's non-sectarian, a very clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you may know the gospel. That's fine. Can't hurt you to get a refresher course, perhaps, maybe a new glimpse of it. Moreover, you could take this offer and use it as a tool for evangelization. Perhaps give it to someone that doesn't know the gospel. So, if you would like it, we'll send it to you free, no charge at all, postpaid, free to your doorstep. Give us a call, Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900. If you're out of town, it's toll-free, 1-866-68-GRACE. Or you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, and email your request, or you can write us a letter, or come by and see us. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. Again, we want to thank so many of you that write letters of support and kind words, and those of you that have even helped to support the broadcast. We just are just thrilled by that. Remember, we give all our things away, and those of you that do contribute know that your contributions go purely to pay for materials and things that we give to others who cannot afford to get them. We never want a dollar to separate someone from biblical truth. And so, as a result, it's our practice to give these things away free of charge. Now, we've been talking about the issue of tongues, and I think we're about in a week three now. There may be a week four needed, perhaps even a week five. You keep generating questions. We need to make sure they're answered. As a result, though, all sorts of people have called and said, you know, I just never thought about this. I assumed this. You know, I never read it closely before, so I was taught this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just so happy to hear that, because you're communicating that you are reading the Scripture. You're not relying on feelings and personal opinions and what somebody said, but you're looking at the Word of God, and you're developing the mindset that simply says, show me. Show me where God said that. Show me where that's the case. No. Put it in context. Stop. You're taking that out of context. I know it's out of context. Give me context. Give me the Word of God. The Word of God is my authority. And as a result, you're seeing that so much of what has been perpetrated in much of Christianity today, especially in evangelical circles, even though this phenomenon knows no spiritual boundaries. It abounds in all the isms of the world, even pagan and occult isms. It's a phenomenon that has permeated and crossed all sorts of barriers. And as we've said prior to today, it's probably the common ingredient in the ecumenical movement. It's a very, very dangerous, it's a very pernicious thing. And people need to come to a clear understanding of it. Now, we left off yesterday in Hebrews chapter 2, and note the title of the book, Hebrews. It's written to Jewish believers. And in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 3, the writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them, the apostles, that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles. Now, we saw in Acts 2:22, Jesus was a man confirmed to the Jew. How? by miracles, wonders, and signs. Now, why, 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jew requires a sign? 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for sign, not to them that believe, but them that believe not. Now, it's interesting, and make your way back to 1 Corinthians 14 for a moment, if you will. It's interesting that when we look and study this out in context, that it doesn't seem very complicated at all. And when we note and study, for example, if we do a word study on the issue of tongue or tongues, we find it's always a known language, a dialect, known somewhere, spoken by someone, or it's the organ in the mouth, depending on the context, but it's one of the two. It's never some unknown, unearthly language unique to you that no one can understand but God. Nowhere is that found. Nowhere does the Bible talk about a heavenly prayer language. Does not appear anywhere. Doesn't even hint it at. Nowhere does the Bible distinguish between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism, quote, in, unquote, the Holy Spirit. Does not exist. No such thing as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't exist. It's made up. It has no basis in biblical truth at all. Now, what we find, just like when we hear people saying from 1 Corinthians 14 that the Holy Spirit comes over someone in the middle of a corporate gathering, a church service, if you will, takes over their volition and utters something in some unknown language, and then takes over someone else's volition and utters in English, if it's a, you know, an American assembly, and then interprets that for them. Now, if that does not appear anywhere in the Bible, if you can't find that, if that is not taught, then obviously there is a severe problem in professing Christianity today. There is a severe problem. Now, again, we go to 1 Corinthians 14. What do we find? We find some interesting things here, some very, very interesting things. We find, for example, the word speak appears about 24 times. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means it's talking about someone who's speaking in tongues, not praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking to someone else. Now, does that in any way change your perception, your understanding of that? Anywhere? I mean, think about it for a second. If, for example, if the word pray only appears 5 times in the chapter and only 8 times in the whole book, and speak 24 times, we have a problem here. Acts chapter 2, they were speaking to people. When's the last time you've seen someone who says they speak in tongues speak to someone in tongues? You ask someone, do you speak in tongues? Oh, yeah. Well, really? Well, speak to me in tongues. I tell you what, there's a guy over there. Go speak to him in tongues. Better yet, there's a guy over there. He's from Vietnam. He's Vietnamese. He doesn't speak any English. Go proclaim the gospel to him in Vietnamese. You see, the purpose of tongues was what? It was a sign. It was a sign. Everywhere in the book of Acts, we find tongues that are in operation. We find Jews present. That's significant. Why? Well, because that's exactly what Paul says in 14:21 of 1 Corinthians. In the law it is written, with men of other languages and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Why do you think he says for a moment in verse 19, he says, yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, or in a tongue that no one in the congregation understands. And that's the purpose of the word in your King James Bible, unknown in this chapter. If you'll note, the word's in italics, which means it's not in the text. The translators of the King James Bible were very honest. When they inserted something that was not in the underlying Greek text, they put it in italics. They italicized it so that you would know it was added by them. They put the word unknown in here so that you would understand in the context that this language or this tongue is unknown to the people in the congregation, not unknown anywhere in the world. So Paul says, I would rather speak five words in a language everybody here understands than 10,000 words in a language they don't understand. And then he proceeds to regulate this use. Now, the biblical tongue, remember, was a known language. Acts chapter 2, they heard him. They listed the various languages that were spoken. So we would clearly know and understand that. It wasn't gibberish. Now you say, well, I believe I'm speaking a language. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this then. You say you're speaking in tongues. And now you maybe you're speaking Spanish. Maybe you're Spanish and you can speak in Spanish and you can speak in English. When you're speaking in Spanish, you're not speaking in tongues in the biblical sense, because it's a language that you learned, that you knew. Now, if you suddenly are able to communicate in some other foreign language, you know what's interesting here? And think about this for a moment. Think about all the missionaries that claim God has called them to go to another land. And in a group that believes, or in a, group's a fair word, in a group that believes, or a certain persuasion that believes that quote-unquote tongues exist. Well, what do? Well, they got to send the missionary to what? Language school or tongues school. So he or she can learn how to communicate in the language of the people where they're going. Well, if they have the gift of tongues, just go there and speak to those people in tongues. They will hear it in their own language. That's exactly what occurred in Acts chapter 2. Exactly what occurred. Now, you say, well, it should be the same today. You're right, it should be. But what was the purpose for biblical tongues? It was a sign to the Jew. It was a sign to the unbelieving Jew. Now, what happened in 70 A.D.? 70 A.D., something significant happened in Jerusalem, right? The location of the infant church. 70 A.D., what happened? The Roman general Titus came in, besieged the city, killed Jews, slaughtered them, took away hundreds and hundreds, thousands even, captives and slaves, etc. And the Jew at that point was dispersed. That's the beginning of what's known as the diaspora. Now, after 70 A.D., no more signs, wonders, and miracles. Paul, at the end of his ministry, couldn't heal anyone. Trophimus, I left at Miletum sick. Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And often infirmities, Paul couldn't even heal himself. Why? These were signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm to the Jew, because the Jew required a sign. Well, we'll pick up some more on this tomorrow. Hopefully it'll begin to get a little clearer for you. If you like the offer this week, the gospel, give us a call, 392-4900, or go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com. And most importantly, call a friend and join us tomorrow at this same time.